During this season of Lent, for the last several weeks, we focused on readings from the 41st Psalm, a psalm written by King David concerning the Christ. Although it was written many years before the birth of our Lord, Psalm 41 speaks history concerning Jesus. During the days of his humiliation, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Thus fulfilled were David's words from the 41st Psalm. Blessed is the one who considers the poor, and he is called blessed in the land. Jesus was welcomed and loved by the Galilean crowds, but not by the Jerusalem leaders. Many prominent men opposed him, hated him, and conspired against him. This all took place according to what King David had prophesied in Psalm 41. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? They imagine the worst for me. Psalm 41 could also see the Lord's betrayer, Judas Iscariot, coming. The psalm said in our Lord's voice, and our Lord even quoted the psalm on the night when he was betrayed, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Tonight's gospel brings us to the death of our Lord Jesus and to these prophetic words from Psalm 41. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. When the scriptures speak about lifting up or about raising up, as they do in this psalm, the first thing that often comes to mind is God's miraculous power of resurrection by which he makes the dead to be alive again. Thus it is written in an earlier psalm, Psalm 40. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. To this Paul added, God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Sometimes when the scriptures speak about raising up, they are not, however, talking about life, but they are talking about death. In particular, raising up can be a reference to our Lord's death on Calvary's cross. Throughout John's gospel, for example, Jesus repeatedly used lifting up and raising up in reference to his cross and death. Jesus said in the third chapter of St. John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Those words do not speak about our Lord's resurrection, but rather, his death on the cross. In the same way that the bronze serpent was raised up on a pole for the healing of the rebellious people of Israel, so also was Jesus suspended above the earth for the healing of the nations. Jesus also said a similar thing in the 8th chapter of John. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Here again, the lifting up or the raising up of which our Lord spoke was in reference to his crucifixion. This lifting was in keeping with the words of the prophet Isaiah. He shall be high and lifted up, his appearance so marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations. What happened when the Lord Jesus was lifted up from the earth and suspended on the cross? Jesus himself explained in St. John chapter 12, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, he said, will draw all people to myself. Once again, speaking about his death for the sins of the whole world. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up. Here in Psalm 41, as in the other passages, the reference to raising up is not so much a reference to our Lord's resurrection as it is to his death on the cross. Raise me up, says Jesus, that I may repay them. For what purpose was our Lord therefore lifted up according to this psalm? That he may repay them. Repay whom? Here is an amazing thing. Jesus wanted to be raised up on his cross in order to repay those who plotted evil against him, to repay those who spoke evil concerning him, to repay those who imagined the very worst for him and who said in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Certainly, this is a strange way of speaking. The Lord our God has worked his vengeance against his enemies in a manner that is totally unlike all the ways that we humans like to work our vengeance. Think of the kings of this world, how they work their vengeance by sending out great armies against their enemies. So it was that King Saul required from David a terrible and weighty bridal price, requiring that it be cut from the Philistines, that he may be avenged of the king's enemies. Thus, too, when Jesus told his parable of the tenants, even his enemies knew that the master of the house would be well within his right to put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants. Like the kings of the earth, you and I equally use revenge against those who have wronged us. Even little children understand the idea of payback. But adults are usually able to work their revenge more subtly and more disastrously. That is why we have such familiar sayings as the sweet taste of revenge, or revenge is a dish best served cold. But not so with the Lord our God. Where we humans prefer to work our vengeance and acts against others, the Lord of hosts executes his judgment against his Son. Our God was so adamant about cleansing the sin of the entire world, so preoccupied with your salvation, that even the vengeance he sought against his enemies became self-inflicted. But you, O Lord, raise me up that I may repay them. In answer to that prayer, God the Father lifted up his only begotten Son to death, even death on the cross. The death of Jesus, our God, was indeed divine vengeance over every enemy, even including death itself. The death of Jesus, our God, therefore, was not the triumph of his enemies over him. When the soldiers at the cross saw the earthquake and what had taken place, they were filled with awe and they said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This happened in keeping with David's prophecy in the 41st Psalm, written in the voice of Jesus. "By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me." Even though the enemies of God enjoyed the sight of his death, their enjoyment was but momentary. So eclipsed and devastated that momentary victory was by the power of Christ's resurrection. Therefore, we must be exceedingly careful, mindfully faithful, when we think of our enemies. For them, Jesus died. All the vengeance was worked by God upon Calvary's cross. That is why our Heavenly Father now graciously forbids you and I to seek vengeance. Our acts of petty revenge are nothing less than denials of the Christ and his death. For you were joined by baptism to the death of Christ, according to the words of Paul. You confess, "I have been crucified with Christ." And again, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Thus, because Psalm 41 speaks about Jesus, it likewise speaks about you. Therefore, these words of Christ are your words. "But you, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up, that I may repay them." What do these words mean when you and I pray them? They mean that we, along with Jesus, have already been raised up on the cross. We, like Jesus, already have our losses and injustices avenged in his blood. In the death of Christ, all vengeance has already been worked out totally by God. Therefore, when we seek revenge upon our enemies, our desire for revenge becomes a denial of the cross and a rejection of Christ's atonement. Therefore, God has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. That is why our Lord Jesus taught us, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. It is why the Apostle Paul has added, the Lord is an avenger in all these things. Shall the Lord our God work vengeance for us on the last day, when Christ our Lord returns to judge both the living and the dead? Yes, he shall. And amen. That is why there are Christian martyrs who even now plead with God for his victorious return, that he might avenge their blood. We do not need to think of our Lord's vengeance on the last day as something separate from what happened on his cross. The last day, rather, is the culmination and the full flowering of that which was worked out completely for us upon the cross. The blood of God's saints shall one day be avenged, because Jesus was raised up on the cross to work God's vengeance. The death of God's saints is precious in his sight, because Jesus of Nazareth bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Every injustice which you have suffered, along with every injustice which you have ever perpetrated, it finds its fulfillment and its satisfaction in these words, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up, that I may repay them. In Jesus' name, amen.